Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Revelation 21 and reading from verses 9 to the end of the chapter. Revelation 21, beginning to read at verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me, and he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, and the second sapphire, and the third chalcedony, and the fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardis. The seventh, chrysolite. Eighth, beryl. Ninth, topaz. 10, chrysopras. The 11th, jacinth. And the 12th, amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl. The street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So far the reading of God's Word. Dear people of God, there have been many human attempts to establish a city that would reflect their power, their wisdom, their glory. Rather than give God glory for His creation, they seek to rob Him and attribute that glory to themselves. And man has done this from the beginning on, reflected in all kinds of physical structures as well as spiritual schemes. In the Old Testament, we see it burst forth from Adam and Eve as that murderous son Cain kills his brother and then goes out and builds a city to live in himself. And later we see it at Babel, which was built to reach heaven, such that its height could stand as a monument to to their power and their skill, their glory. And all major cities, earthly cities of kingdoms that have arisen were attempts at this vanity to rob God and to lift up their names for all to see. Babylon, Nineveh, Egypt, Rome, all took their turn to enshrine their fame, but all failed and passed away. Jerusalem was symbolic of God's city, but it soon was also hijacked by the Jews. It was a glorious city, even as the disciples pointed out to Jesus with respect to the huge and strong walls, that Jesus stood looking at Jerusalem before he entered it in his last week, and they embarked upon that dastardly act of treason as they crucified the Lord of glory. Even in our own day, cities have arisen. Even in our own country, the USA sought to establish itself as a shining city on a hill. But it too is waning as it departs from its Christian heritage and it rebuilds itself according to man's wisdom. Paul in Galatians seeks to turn the eyes of believers away from earthly Jerusalem and indeed away from all earthly cities to God's city, the reality of the new Jerusalem, where Babel and all other attempts could never reach. We also need to make sure that our eyes are not on any earthly cities of men's making, whether secular or religious. We need to be able to see and rejoice in the true city of God that is being built. And we need to see where it is being built. We need to recognize it so that we can have confidence and joy in what God is accomplishing as he builds his city. This is what John reveals in his visions. This is what we have in the last couple of chapters of Revelation and how glorious these passages are. How is it portrayed then? Well, first of all, it's portrayed as a mighty fortress. It's a mighty fortress. Understand that it's symbolism. If we don't understand that, we're going to get lost in the details. It's symbolism. It's the city of Christians. Let us be reminded that all these visions are symbolic and not literal. The truth is that there is no danger for believers in the eternal state, but to convey these truths, God uses earthly analogies so that we might better comprehend it. Notice what John is told. He is going to be shown, what? The bride of Christ. He's going to be shown the Lamb's wife. Clearly, this is a reference to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, namely me and you. In fact, all believers, Jews and Gentiles alike. That's what we are seeing. That's what is being described. We are the bride adorned for a husband, as Ephesians 5 clearly establishes. We are the temple of God, a Jewish analogy. We are the temple of God, built stone by stone. What John is going to be shown is the church of God, which is the same thing as a bride. We are the heavenly Jerusalem. That's what Paul clearly teaches in Galatians chapter 5, verse 26. And so John is taken to a high mountain because the city is so great and glorious that you need a panoramic view to catch all the glory. You know, when Nineveh is spoken about in the prophecy of Jonah, five times it is described as a great city. A great city, a great city. It took 3 days' journey to walk across it. We are a great and numerous people, the people of God. We are a great city. No one can number us, as God reveals to Abraham in terms of the grains of sand on the seashore and the stars in the heavens. And we recall that Satan took Jesus up to a high mountain to show him and tempt him with all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. So all that follows is a symbolic as it seeks to represent the blessedness of God's people presented in symbols that have a well-established meaning throughout history. Now, this mighty fortress is not only the city of Christians. It is a city against which the gates of hell cannot prevail. Jerusalem of the Old Testament had a wall around it to give it protection. And we know Nehemiah went to repair that broken wall. In Jesus' time, the wall around Jerusalem was majestic, and the disciples pointed that out in Mark's Gospel, chapter 13. But such symbolism sought to give expression to the security of God's people that we enjoy under him. In revealing the bride of Christ, John sees a great high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels, one at each gate. On each gate was written the name of one of the tribes of Israel. The city was a compact square. In fact, it was a cube, because not only was the breadth the same as its length, but the height was the same too. It was a cube. And we need to keep that in mind a little later as we see the significance of that. We read of the layout of the city and its surroundings in Ezekiel 48. So Ezekiel 47 and on, those chapters, they're not talking about earthly kingdom somewhere that we need to rebuild. No, it's pointing forward to this glorious image, symbolism of the eternal Jerusalem. It is a huge city. One that is 1,380 miles square, probably filling up the USA. No wonder John is taken to a great and high mountain, a spaceship view, if you will. All these descriptions, as I say, convey one reassuring and resounding truth, namely, it is eternally secure. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This city, the church, let me keep reminding you, is impregnable. The thickness of the walls and the many gates on each side, with an angel at each gate, presents an awesome picture of security. Three angels facing all the four directions, ready to protect God's people. We couldn't be more secure. There will never be another fall into sin. There will never be any disruption in our midst. These structures clearly manifest that. The names tie the structures to saints. Each tribe is mentioned. That doesn't mean that only Jews are there. No, not at all. It's just giving another picture, an Old Testament picture of the people of God. And so that's what is expressing all the people of God, each and every one of us, in whose heart the work of grace has been accomplished. Each and every one of us, in terms of our salvation, is so solid. Nothing can take it away. And it is also adorned with divine glory. We read that the Holy Jerusalem came out from heaven. It wasn't made on earth. People didn't make it. People didn't organize it. Yes, it's been worked on here on earth, in each heart. but it's put together in heaven. As each of us is translated from this world into the next, we are put together as the people of God. And when that work is complete, Jerusalem comes from heaven, from God, because it is His handiwork, and He brings it out for all to see. And we see that glory. Her light was like a most precious stone, like jasper, clear as crystal. The walls, the gates, the foundation, the streets were all precious stones and gold. It was the most amazing sight to behold. Notice that this is the glory that we receive from the Lord. It is His redemptive work that transforms all believers, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, from one degree of glory to another. We are being transformed. That's what Paul is saying. We are now being transformed. This work is already at work and progressing as we move from one degree of glory to another. Just as a building takes shape and we see the beauty of it as it's being constructed, as it gets closer and closer to the end, we see that glory appear. So it is with God's people. Like jewels that without light have no glory, but when they have light shine on them, then their beauty is revealed as light is reflected by their wonderfully cut faces. Each living stone is perfectly cut to fit with the rest in the temple of God, so that we radiate the glory of God's work in us individually, but also in us collectively. Now, of course, it doesn't appear that way. Now when we look at one another, we see what we see. It's not the finished work. We see all kinds of construction material, and we don't see the beauty of it yet. But I want to assure you, this is what God is working at day by day. This is what He's working in you. This is what He's working in me. This is what He's working in each and every one of us. Don't give up hope. Don't criticize the work of God. He will finish it. He's promised to do so. And we will appear as we are being described in this passage. We will radiate the glory of God's work in each and every one of us. We will emerge from heaven, fully adorned for a husband, without spot, without blemish. We will see ourselves and each other in the glorious work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only are the walls described, but also a foundation. Foundation. There are 12 foundations. And what is that foundation that this is symbolizing? It is the Word of God. Foundations are crucial to the buildings if they are going to last. And we might add that countries and peoples that have no solid religious and moral foundation, civil foundation, unravel and decline, as we see in our own midst. That God has founded this world on a solid foundation. But the world has turned away. They rejected Him. They cast Him aside. They exchanged His truth for a lie. And they brought forth their own wisdom, which is demonic. We see the outworking of that, no matter where we look in this world. When they don't believe God and His Word, it's chaos, absolute chaos. Israel was founded well, but departed from its moorings. They were to embrace the beautiful city of God in Psalm 87. But sadly, Jerusalem is where the Lord of glory was crucified. By His people. However, God did not abandon the plans of that the Old Testament symbolically pointed to. The one who promised to build His church did not forget about the foundation. His Word is the foundation. And it's through the avenues of the prophets and apostles that the Word of God was given so that the church would be securely founded for eternity. And we have that in Ephesians. Paul speaks about that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. He says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." That's what we see. That's the foundation that John is shown. The foundation of the Word of God that came through the apostles and prophets. And a foundation that each and every one of us has, that Paul speaks about in Corinthians. This solid foundation upon which our lives are built, that will never give way. Never give way. So not only collectively, but individually, we are set and founded such that no one can dislodge us. Everything about this foundation is filled with beauty as reflected in the precious stones. The Word of God on every page and word displays the glory of God, as does the creation. But the Bible does so with much greater specificity and detail. Take a good look at your foundations and the foundation of the church that you join. Just as you pay attention to the foundations of any house that you buy, so make sure that the foundations of the church that you join are solid. As a hymn writer put it, "Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest." But there are also walls of separation. The city has walls which are tall and thick, but at the same time, glorious. Walls are dividers. Walls divide peoples. They divide principles. And the Word of God also provides for us parameters within which we must think and live and have our being. We must never seek to breach those safety barriers as Adam and Eve did and found themselves on the wrong side of Eden. The world pushes their ideas of self-expression and free will, self-determination, being the very essence of life, they say. But Adam and Eve would reject such a lie. The walls of Zion are the bounds of freedom. They are the parameters within which we can enjoy the abundant life. When the Israelites did what that was right in their own eyes, it was a period in which they constantly went astray, as the book of Judges show. And they found themselves in bondage to their enemies and had to cry out to God for deliverance. There is nothing in the walls that does not shine forth with wisdom, love, justice, and the holiness of God. There is not one iota in God's word that does not promote and enhance your and our comfort and experience of peace and joy in the Lord. Any breach of the wall is an invitation to be robbed of our peace and comfort. People of God, admire the walls. Don't seek to pull them down. Finally, this is the city of God. This is the Holy of Holies. The Lord set his name upon Jerusalem. It was his city. But more precisely, his presence was associated with the Holy of Holies in the inner sanctum of the temple. And we might note that this city is being described is a cube measuring 12,000 furlongs, both in its breadth and its height, and its length and its height. We know that the temple of God, in which God dwells, it was in the Holy of Holies that was the cube. And this is what is being taught to us, that the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ is the city of God. And that city of God is the Holy of Holies. That's where we're going to dwell. We're not going to visit the temple. We're not going to visit the Holy of Holies. We are the Holy of Holies. We are the temple of God. And we will dwell in this intimate fellowship with Him. Through the redemptive work of Christ, that curtain separating the Holy of Holies was removed and torn down. Not that we would have a path to go in and out. No, no, no. But we may have a path to go in and remain in fellowship with Him. There is no need for a temple because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb reside with us. We are in the Father's house. We have constant fellowship with Him such that we do not need to go anywhere, or we will dwell with Him. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's life. No one will sit at the back. No one will be crowded out. We will walk with Him and talk with Him. Not just in the cool of the day, but all day and every day. In this world, we are dependent on the sun. Even in the night, we have the moon reflecting the sun's light. In effect, the earth has the light of the sun on one half all the time, of course. The sun is such a vital part of our existence, such that without it, earthly life as we know it would end. Note, however, that even on this worldly level, the sun does not take glory for itself. But rather, as the psalmist puts it, it rises each day and pours forth speech to its creator. The Old Testament in Isaiah 60, we see the New Testament equivalent, that believers are the light of the world, shining city on a hill. Through their relationship to the Lord, they were to be a shining city for all the nations of the world, so that they would come to them, to their light, and learn of God and His word and glory. The Lamb is our light, our life, our glory. The light of the Lamb fills the city and each heart so that His righteousness and holiness is fully exhibited for us to experience and exemplify. On earth, Israel was to be an example to the other nations. The church is to be such today, to be the hope of the world. We are registered citizens, this passage tells us. We read that the gates will not be shut at all, for there will be no night there. The Lord will never leave us. And secondly, there will be no period of danger that usually stalks in the dark. The city will always be full of admiration, as the Old Testament Jerusalem was to a certain extent. In earthly analogies, we see the kings of the earth will come and bring their homage to the city for its glory and beauty. Just as in this world, we have people flee their countries to escape so-called to freedom. So likewise, the city of God is the envy of all. However, in earthly analogies, there shall be no means anything that enters that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Christians are spoken of as those that are citizens of the kingdom of God, those that were born there, natural born. No one will be added in eternity. However, until then, God sends forth His children to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now you can enter. Now there are no walls. Now there's no problem of people coming in. The gates are wide open. And you will be considered as one that was born in God's country. Now's the time. Now's the day of salvation. Now it's time for us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and become the building blocks of this glorious city that will be for eternity. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you provide us with such wonderful images and symbolism of that which is our eternal hope. And our Father, that which we see being constructed every day in the lives of one another. As we come to faith, as we progress and mature in our Christian faith, you are making stones that will form that wonderful temple. Our Father in heaven, we pray that that would bring excitement into our hearts, that we would not groan and moan about the church and look forward to some visions that other people have given to us and hold before our eyes. Rather, our Father, we would be confident that you are at work and you are building this glorious city with each and every one of us. Our Father in heaven, grant us the joy that by faith we may see that work in ourselves and in others and promote that through the preaching of your wonderful gospel. Our Father, we ask that you would hear our prayers, that you would bless these truths to our hearts and lives. For we pray these things in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Red Hymnals number 355.